Blog Talk Radio.
To you, my Yadu, I lift up my soul. And trusting you, he always kept me whole. Uh-huh. And left my enemies deep in their holes. Let none that wait on Yahweh be ashamed. But shame on those who sin without a cause. Show me your ways, please teach me your laws. Oh Elohim of my salvation. I'm staying down impatient as a child, all the while I'm waiting. Remember not the sins of my youth. Leave me in your truth, and he'll give your soul ease. The earth shall remain inherited by your seed. The secret of Yahweh who fears Elohim, a fool believes everything. And to every word spoken, you can't take heed unless you hear somebody curse. You know you did the same thing. That's why I'm begging y'all for mercy and it's love and kindness, cause I know that I ain't worthy. Worthy.
Captivity is taking hold upon me. For frightening me and now we flee for fallen leaves. The ground and grief from all the blood our people seen. And now we cry, where is the word from Elohim? And so we said that we all is wise to be submissive, but we dismiss it. It is of this reason we have fallen victim to the lies that your root will pray and pursue. Rebellious of the son, forgotten that he is one. Broken the holy ordinance, rejecting the reproof. Then acknowledge what we do. Now we return back to the truth.
God's word is the truth. God's decrees is the proof. Local 12 just released the scoop. It's the summer of Sam. They calling us Ham. Made us worship the son of man. And somehow that the moon, they stole our style and gave it to Rothschild. Now we exalt the vow, but it's a turnstile. God's now be set the crooked things straight. Praise God from the rising to the evening to the closing the gate. Exposing the fake. God give the truth a day break. Now the liars can't escape and the haters can't relate to the light the truth makes. See the wicked's pride deflate. Your soul, y'all magnify, y'all cut his grace.
Shalom, shalom, shalom. First and foremost, giving all praise and honor to the Holy One of Israel, to the creator of the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that is therein is by saying hallelujah. Praise the mighty Yah. Yah is righteous. Yah is holy. And let Yahweh be magnified. Once again, the Creator has allowed us to come before you another day to bring to you his great, holy, and exalted words, even the words of Yah. My name is Moray Ishaya Yisrael of the house of Israel. located right here in Cincinnati, Ohio, 1907 Vine Street, bringing to you nothing but the truth. And yes, it is true. All you're going to get is the truth. For Yah ordained me to tell you the truth. So this is what I'm going to do. And who is this Yah? Yah is the creator of the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that is therein is. Yah is the Elohim of our fathers, the Elohim of Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yisrael, whom you may know as Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Yah is our king, he's our judge, he's our lawgiver, and he is our only savior. And not just of Israel. Yah is the savior of the world. And I praise Yah for once again allowing us to come before you, to bring to you his great words. Of course, yesterday, we were dealing with the fourth beast, dealing with the independence of the fourth beast, dealing with the birth when they were established as a nation of people, even though this is what the Creator told us in the book of Deuteronomy, the 32nd chapter, if you turn there with me. In the book of Deuteronomy 32, look what the Creator let us know. He let us know in Deuteronomy 32, and I'm going to read starting at verse 15. But Jeshurun waxed fat. Who is Jeshurun? Jeshurun is a Hebrew word. Hebrew poetic word just means darling. But darling, like you saying to your woman, honey, hey baby. And Yahweh said, oh darling, wax fat and kicked. Thou art waxing fat. Thou art grown thick. Thou art covered with fatness. And see what happens when you cover with fatness, nobody can't tell you nothing. You're no good for nothing because you think you're good for everything. Then he forsook Elohim, which made him, and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. Me and one of my good brothers was talking earlier today, and we were talking about salvation, even according to the New Testament. The New Testament teaches that salvation is of the Yehudanites. And all over the scriptures, you'll find salvation is to Yehuda and to Israel. And here, the Creator said, and Elohim, which made him lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation, because salvation comes from the Most High. And watch what he says. They provoke him, speaking of the Most High, to jealousy with strange gods. With abominations provoke they him to anger. They sacrifice unto devils, not to Elohim, to deities whom they knew not, to new deities that came newly up, whom your fathers fear not. Of the rock that begot thee, thou art unmindful, and hast forgotten Elohim that formed thee. Now watch what happens. And when Yahweh saw it, he abhorred them because of the provoking of his sons and of his daughters. And he said, I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end shall be. And that's what happens. You leave people to their own devices. And this is what the Most High is doing. He said, I'm going to see what their end going to be. In other words, I'm going to leave them to their own devices, their own mindset, their own ways, their own thoughts. And let's see what their end going to be. For they are a forward generation, children in whom is no faith. They have moved me to jealousy with that which is not Elohim. They have provoked me to anger with their vanities, and I will move them to jealousy with those which are not a people. I will provoke them to anger with a foolish nation. And here today, we're talking about one of the most foolish nations on earth, even though they're the greatest nations on earth today. And that's the United States of America. Now, you have many of their wise men, many of their intelligent men, what they call, which is the CIA and the FBI and the State Department and police and all these, they listening right now to us. And they know exactly what I'm saying. And they also know that I'm telling you the truth. And I'm telling you, thus says Yahweh. And what is the truth? They are a foolish nation, but they are not a people. Yahweh said, I will move them to jealousy with those which are not a people. When this country was formed in 1607, this wasn't formed by a nation at all. This was a bunch of mixed renegades that came out of Europe that England and the Europeans seen as castaways, cast off, people who was locked up in jail, people that they didn't see talents in at all. And they sent them away to this so-called new world. It wasn't a new world at all. There were millions of Native Americans, different tribes here on this continent. Christopher Columbus discovered nothing. If he discovered anything, he discovered the fact that there were people already here. But he didn't discover no new land like you discover oil and it become yours. You discover a well and then it become yours. You discover an uninhabited land and then you make it yours. No, this land was very much inhabited. But since we made Yah, the true and living Elohim, the only Elohim, jealous with some false, fake, counterfeit gods that ain't real, that can't see, can't hear, can't smell, and can't eat. He said he will make us jealous with those that are not a people. And they're not a people. Here it is. They call themselves the United States of America. Little do people know, that's not a name of a country. That's some corporate label. That's some nonprofit organization. That's some corporate name that they came up with. But there was no nation on this earth that was called by this. This is a people that came from various different people on the earth. They were not a people of a nation at all. However, nevertheless, they still a nation today because they call themselves the United States of America. And this United States of America got their independence in 1776. And I've been letting people know all this is occurring under what we know of in the scriptures as the fourth beast. And it's important to know everything you need to know and want to know about this fourth beast. And you cannot study on the fourth beast without showing, without understanding its fourth counterpart. See, a lot of people talk about the fourth beast, but everything has an opposite. Everything has a counterpart. Everything has something that would oppose it. So, for example, you have good, but you also have evil. You have up, but you got down also. You got the left, but you also have the right. And you always have these opposing factions on the other side, these opposing things, these opposing matters. And a lot of people talk about the fourth beast, but they don't talk about its counterpart. If this is a beast, watch what it says about the fourth beast. This people that are not a people at all. In the book of Daniel, the seventh chapter, watch what it says. In the book of Daniel, the seventh chapter, let's see what it says about this fourth beast. The 23rd verse, Daniel 7 and 23. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon earth. This is a kingdom which shall be diverse from all kingdoms and shall devour the whole earth and tread it down and break it in pieces. And the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise. And another shall arise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue 3 kings. And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws. And they shall be given into his hand until a time and times, and the dividing of times. And we're going to break down what that is. But make no mistake about it, this is the prophecy concerning the fourth beast. Now, what beast on this earth is going around talking about make America great again. Didn't it say he was going to speak great words? And all I hear here with this beast is make America great again. I'm going to have a great cabinet. They're going to be smarter than everybody. It's going to be the greatest. I'm going to elect the greatest Supreme Court justices. Everything is going to be great. Everybody's going to be making money because this country is going to be great again. No longer will these countries take advantage of us. Look, we get them our money, we expect a great return. Look what they're doing to Canada right now. Look what they're doing to China right now. Look what they're doing to Mexico right now. Look what they're doing to anybody that's on the borders of America right now. If you border America, you're having all kind of problems with this great beast because he's going to make America great again. And what do that mean? That means everybody got to come down and everybody got to bow and everybody got to come low for America to be great again. We remember when America was great. We were slaves. So we know what it means. And then it further says he's going to change times and laws. And right now, that's exactly what's going on. And no matter how many judges are against him, at the end of the day, the Supreme Court going to agree with him. If you want to ban some Muslims from certain Muslim countries coming into the United States of America, stamp, you can. That's a law that's changed. Even though, according to the Constitution of America, you can't discriminate against anybody for sex, for religion, sexual orientation. You can't age, gender. And he specifically said Muslim. That's a religion. That's a religion. Muslim is not a people. Now, you come across the border, we separating the kids from the parents. Stamp, you can do it. Where is that law at? This is a misdemeanor. And where is the law you send people, kids across the country? What law is that? And now, no, just because the man who spoke great words said, make America great again, now in the National Football League, they got to stand at the flag. It's all good. In other words, everything he's saying is to make America great. Who do you think is supposed to do that? Who's supposed to speak great words? The fourth beast. This is what he's supposed to do. But nobody is asking about his counterpart. Surely if there's a fourth beast who's supposed to bring about evil, who's supposed to bring about destruction, who's supposed to bring about the foolishness and abomination that we see today, then there's somebody that must be a counterpart to that to bring about righteousness, to bring about good, that bring about peace, that bring about order. And who is that? Since the fourth beast is to bring this other stuff. What is his counterpart? Well, let me show you. If you didn't know, if you go to the book of Genesis, Let's start in the book of Genesis 49. In order for you to have balance in anything, you first must understand what balance is. And you cannot have evil without also having good. And a lot of people know the evil, but for some strange reason, ain't nobody talking about the good. In Genesis 49, watch what it says. And we're going to start reading at the 8th verse. And look what it says. First, let me read the first verse so you can understand exactly what this is saying. And this is what it says. And Yaakov called unto his sons and said, gather yourselves together that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days. This is talking about the last days. And here it is. We jump right down to the 8th verse. Yehuda, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Now, why would they praise Yehuda? Why would the other brethren praise Yehuda? Well, let me tell you why. And you're not going to learn this nowhere else. And I'm going to tell you also why you're not going to learn it nowhere else. But the reason they will praise Yehuda, because Yehuda is the fourth son of Jacob. And now, what you're about to read is the counterpart, the opposing factor to the fourth beast. This is his counterpart. This is his opposition. This is the one that will be raised up to bring about the thing the fourth beast is trying to unroot. It is Yehuda, and not just Yehuda, but in particularly the house of David. Watch what it says. Yehuda, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Thy hand shall be in the neck of thy enemies. And who is a greater enemy than Babylon? Thy father's children shall bow down before thee. Yehuda is a lion's whelp from the prey. My son, thou art gone up. He stooped down. He couched as a lion, and as an old lion, who shall rouse him up? The scepter shall not depart from Yehuda, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Who you think we're going to gather to? Who you think is going to lead the charge to bring about the destruction of the fourth beast? Who do you think is his opposing counterpart? You can't have one without the other. Binding his foal unto the vine, his ass coat unto the choice vine. He washed his garments in wine, and his clothes in the blood of grapes. His eyes shall be red with wine, and his teeth white with milk. And we're going to explain all that. But I want you to see, you see the fourth beast, but what you don't see is his counterpart, the one that would oppose the work that he has claimed, the work that he believes he will do in the earth. And what is that? To make America great again. Because when America is great again, that means bad things for everybody else. Who is this fourth counterpart? So everybody might not know this. Yehuda is the fourth son. Let me show you this. In the book of Genesis 29. And let me show you why the scripture says, and our brethren shall praise thee, and they shall bow down to thee. Because a lot of people don't understand these scriptures because they've never been taught this. Watch what it says. In Genesis 29, verse 31, and when Yahweh saw that Leah was hated, he opened up her womb, but Rachel was barren. And Leah conceived and bare a son, and she called his name Reuben, for she said, surely Yah have looked upon my affliction. Now, therefore, my husband will love me. And that's what Reuben means. Yah looked upon my affliction. And she conceived again, which is her second son. And bare a son and said, because Yahweh heard I was hated, he have therefore given his son also, and she called his name Simeon, which means Shimon, which comes from the Hebrew word Shema, which means to hear. Because Yah heard that she was hated. That's number two. Number three. And she conceived again, bare a son, and said, now this time will my husband be joined unto me, because I born him three sons. Therefore, was his name called Levi. And who do you think Yahweh set up to join one to another, one to him? Is it not the priest? Yes. Who do you think pray for you? Who do you think make sacrifices for you? Who do you think anoint? Who do you think do all the work of Yahweh? And to take away your sins, that you might be one with your Elohim. No wonder she said, now this time will my husband be joined unto me, because that's what Levi do. He joins one unto another, priest. And that's number three. And watch number four in the 35th verse. And she conceived again and bare a son, and she said, now will I praise Yahweh. Well, why couldn't you praise Yahweh, the first son you got, or the second son you got, or the third son? Why praise Yahweh when the fourth son came? Because that's what the fourth means. That's what it represents. That's its purpose. That's why I said you're not going to learn this from anyone else. Therefore, she called his name Yehuda. That's what Yehuda means. It means praise. And she left barren. It means praise. So on one hand, you have this fourth beast that speak great words, such as, let's make America great again. We're going to do great things. We're going to solve great problems. We're going to have a great cabinet, the best cabinet ever. Many of the people in this cabinet is being indicted, arrested, and all kind of madness. But they're going to be great. Already he's done great things. And all these great things has caused other people to be sad, mad around the world. You might know about this fourth beast, but I don't think you know about his counterpart. Let us continue reading so that we can see who this counterpart is of the fourth beast in the book, so you can understand this fourth counterpart. Watch this in the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy, the 12th chapter. Watch what the Creator said in the book of Deuteronomy 12, starting at the very first verse. These are the statutes and the judgments which ye shall observe to do in the land which Yah, your Elohim of thy fathers, giveth thee to possess. All the days that ye live upon the earth, ye shall utterly destroy all the places wherein the nations which ye shall possess serve their deities, upon the high mountains, upon the hills, and under every green tree. Destroy them, and ye shall overthrow their altars, break their pillars, burn their groves with fire, and ye shall hew down the graven images of their deities, and destroy the names of them out of that place. Ye shall not do so unto Yah your Elohim, but unto the place where Yahweh your Elohim shall choose out of all your tribes to put his name there. Even unto his habitation shall you seek, and there shall ye come. And what tribe do you think Yahweh chose to put his name out of all the tribes, where this is the place where one had to come for all the holy things? Because he only chose and elected one tribe. And yes, if you saying in your mind, or you saying out of your mouth, that this was the tribe of Yehuda, you are absolutely correct. But why Yehuda? Because this is the one that his brethren shall praise. This is the one that all his brethren will bow to, according to the scriptures. And this is the one place that Yahweh chose and elected and desired to put his name there. And this is the fourth beast opposition. This is his counterpart. This is who he has to tangle with. And I'm going to show you that. Because you might know who this fourth beast is, but for some strange reason, we don't know who his counterpart is. and it's the fourth son. Let me show you this. Let me show you some things. Watch what it says in the sixth verse. And there ye shall bring your burnt offerings, your sacrifices, your tithes and heave offerings of your hand, your vows, your free will offerings, the firstling of your herds and of your flocks. And there ye shall eat before Yahweh your Elohim. And ye shall rejoice in all that ye put your hand unto, ye and your households, wherein Yahweh thy Elohim have blessed thee. And ye shall not do after the things that we do here this day, every man whatsoever is right in his own eyes. See, that's what's going on today. Every man is doing what's right in his own eyes. But make no mistake about it. You're not going to do that in a land. You won't even make it to the land. Everybody talking about, well, when we get home, we'll be able to do such and such. What makes you think you're going home? Where did Yahweh say that at? Yeah, the only people that's going home are people that keep Yahweh commandments that he told us that we had to keep in the last days. And I'm going to show you what that is. But still, let me show you this counterpart. So not only people going to gather to this fourth counterpart, this fourth son, not only people will bow to this fourth son, and not only did the Creator say his hand and his foot will be on the neck of his enemies, yes, still speaking about this fourth son, but this is the one place Yahweh said he chose. Still, this fourth son. And we find out, no wonder Yahweh said this in the book of Leviticus 19. In the book of Leviticus 19, this is what it says. The 23rd verse. And when ye come into the land, and shall have planted all manner of trees for food, then ye shall count the fruit thereof as uncircumcised. 3 years shall it be as uncircumcised unto you. It shall not be eaten of. But in the fourth year, and what are we speaking about? Ain't we talking about the fourth beast? And aren't we talking about his fourth counterpart? The fourth one that would oppose the work that he has declared he would do, and that is to make, to speak great things and wear out the saints of the Most High. Watch what it says. And in the fourth year, all the fruit thereof shall be holy, to praise Yahweh. Why in the fourth year? Why can't I bring my fruit in the first year, in the second year, in the third year to praise Yahweh? Why the fourth year? Because the fourth represents his praises. No wonder Yehuda, all his brethren shall praise him. All his brothers shall bow to him. No wonder that is the one place that we have to go to praise Yahweh. With our tithes, with our offerings, with our cattle, with our oil, with our heave offerings, with our sacrifices. No wonder we take that to the one place, because that's where Yahweh desires his praise to come. This is where he desires his praise to be. Buddha is the one who he set up for his praises. And not only that, This is the one he set up to oppose this fourth beast. This is the fourth counterpart. So you can talk about this fourth beast, but it made no sense to talk about him without understanding who this fourth counterpart is. Watch what it says in the book of Isaiah, the 11th chapter. And it is true. They celebrated the 242nd independence. But why don't they have any respect for other people's independence, other people's freedom? All the Hispanic countries doing, all they doing is trying to come here to be free. They were told this was the land of the free. This was the land of opportunity. The world thought this was the land of milk and honey. If we just get to America, everything will be okay. And we will realize and understand all our dreams, and they will all come true. Now many of the people are beginning to know, beginning to understand, beginning to learn. That is a nightmare. It was a fairy tale. Watch what it says. In Isaiah 11 chapter, speaking of this counterpart, it says in the book of Isaiah 11 chapter, and there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse. And who is Jesse? Jesse is a Yehudanite. Jesse is the father of David. Not David, King David. And a branch shall grow out of his roots, and the spirit of Yahweh shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of Yah, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of Yah. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And watch this. And he, who is he? That root of Jesse. Who is that? King David. Who is that? A Yehudanite. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth. And with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And who is that? And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins. Faithfulness the girdle of his reins. And let me show you. See, once the wicked is destroyed, then this is what you're going to have after the wicked is destroyed. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the kid. The calf and the young lion and the fatling together. A little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall feed. Their young ones shall lie down together. And the lion shall eat straw like the ox. Yeah, as soon as the wicked is destroyed, then even the animals return. Right back into the state of peace and righteousness. Watch what it says. And the suckling child shall play on the hoof of the ass, and the weaned child shall put his hand on a cockatrice den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of Yahweh as the waters cover the sea. And where is Yahweh holy mountain? Where is it? Where is Mount Zion? You better look up Yehuda and see where it is. Watch what it says. And in that day, there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. And it shall come to pass, in that day, Yahweh shall set his hand again to recover, set his hand again, the second time to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria and from Egypt and from Pathro, from Cush, from Elam, from Shinar, and from Hamath, and from the islands of the sea. And he shall set up an ensign for the nations, and assemble the outcasts of Israel, and gather together the dispersed of Yehuda from the four corners of the earth. Now watch what it says. The envy also of Ephraim shall depart. The adversaries of Yehuda shall be cut off. Ephraim shall not envy Yehuda. Yehuda shall not vex Ephraim. But they shall fly upon the shoulders of the Philistines toward the west. They shall spoil them of the east together. They shall lay their hand upon Edom and Moab. And the children of Ammon shall obey them. Yahweh shall utterly destroy the tongue of the Egyptian sea, and with his mighty wind shall he shake his hand over the river, and shall smite it in seven streams, and make men go over dryshod. And there shall be a highway for the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria, like as it was to Israel in the day that he came up out of the land of Egypt. So here, once again, we're seeing this fourth counterpart go to work. Who do you think the gathering of the people will be? They're going to gather to who? It says his hand shall be on the neck of his enemies. He says his brethren shall bow down to him. It says his brethren shall praise him. And what represents Yahweh praises? Well, the fourth. Not the fourth beast. Well, it does represent Yahweh praises, because Yahweh will get his praise once this fourth beast is brought down. Because the fourth represents his praises, whether it's good or evil. But the good of the fourth will be his son, will be Yehuda, the house of David. Furthermore, why do you think this branch will come out of Jesse? Now, when Isaiah said this, David was dead, but so was Jesse. So how can a branch come out of Jesse, and Jesse is dead, and so is David? We're going to show you. Furthermore, speaking of this fourth counterpart, no wonder Yahweh said this in Isaiah the 9th chapter. See, because I'm trying to get our people to understand. Yeah, you might know about this fourth beast, but who do you think the fourth counterpart to this beast is? You can't have one without the other. If this fourth beast going to do something, then there's got to be a fourth counterpart that would oppose it. And watch what it says. In the book of Isaiah, the 9th chapter, the 6th verse. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Pele, which means wonderful. Esau, which means counselor. The mighty Elohim, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David, upon his kingdom, to order it, to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of Yahweh of hosts will perform this. What do you think this son is born for? He's born to bring Yahweh's government back on earth. And this time, Yahweh government will not be destroyed. But this cannot be done until the wicked are destroyed. This cannot be done until Babylon falls. So the fourth beast must be destroyed. Even though the fourth beast is set up to destroy, and it will be given into his hand four times and times and the dividing of times. And we're seeing that today. But the Creator said, the judgment shall sit. And the saints shall possess the government. Furthermore, speaking of this fourth, again, it said David there. It said David in Isaiah 9. It said David in Isaiah 11. And everywhere I look, I see this fourth counterpart bringing about a government, slaying the wicked with his mouth, setting up his government by the Most High. His brethren praising him, his brethren bowing to him, the people gathering to him. In the book of Isaiah 55, what do it say? Who is this counterpart? It says in Isaiah 55, yes, who is this counterpart to this fourth beast? Third verse. Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Watch what it says. Behold, I've given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. He's not just a witness. He's not just a leader. But he also is a commander. Who will he command? Who will he lead? Who will he witness for? Or witness against? Or witness to? Or witness about? For he is the witness to the people. And yes, he'd be the one to say, look, This one must go down, and this one can stay standing up. Yeah, he is the witness. Yahweh already said he will not judge after the sight of his eyes, nor reprove after the hearing of his ears, but with equity and righteousness shall he judge the poor. And when it says the poor, it's not talking about people who broke. It's talking about the humble. And with his mouth, he shall slay and smite the wicked. Yeah, he is the witness that Yahweh will use against others. And what's his name? David. And he is the opposing counterpart to the fourth beast. And why? Because he comes from the fourth tribe. And what tribe is that? Yehuda. What do you think Yehuda means? It means praises. No wonder Yahweh said this in the Ten Commandments. In the book of Exodus, the 20th chapter. And I was always curious about this. But look what Yahweh said in the book of Exodus, the 20th chapter. In the book of Exodus 20. Starting at the 8th verse, it says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And I'm like, wait, this is the fourth commandment. Why would the Sabbath day be the fourth commandment when the Sabbath day is on the seventh day? Why couldn't Yahweh leave the commandment for the Sabbath day for the seventh commandment? Why did he make it four? Well, that's not hard to understand now if you have knowledge, if you have wisdom and understanding. Well, Yahweh said the fourth is when he will get his praises. That's why in the fourth year, you bring all the fruit to praise Yahweh. So the fourth commandment, which represents his praises, he said, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And what did the Creator say about the Sabbath day? He said, from one new month to another, from one Sabbath to another, all flesh shall come and worship me. Because that's when Yahweh won his praises. And where are they going to come? What land? What place? Didn't Yahweh already tell you that? In the one tribe that he chose above all the other tribes, and that was Yehuda. You find 6 days shall thy labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of Yah that Elohim. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son nor thy daughter, thy manservant nor thy maidservant nor thy cattle, nor the stranger that is within thy gate. For in 6 days Yah made heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore Yahweh blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Yes, he's talking about the seventh day, talking about it in the fourth commandment, because this is when Yahweh won his praises. Furthermore, speaking of this fourth counterpart, this fourth opposing counterpart to the fourth beast, This is what we got to know. If we don't know that part, we don't know nothing. We don't know nothing. Another scripture I want you to see. Me and my brother was talking about this, and I knew I had to bring this to you in the book of Joel, the third chapter. Watch this. Still speaking of this fourth counterpart. Because nothing, and I mean nothing, will trump this fourth counterpart. This who Yahweh will use to reestablish everything. Watch what Yahweh says in the book of Joel, the third chapter. And we will start reading at the 18th verse. And it shall come to pass in that day that the mountains shall drop down new wine, and the hills shall flow with milk, and all the rivers of Yehudah shall flow with waters, and a fountain shall come forth out of the house of Yahweh and shall water the valley of Shittim. Why the rivers of Yehudah? Egypt shall be a desolation. Edom shall be a desolate wilderness for the violence against the children of Yehudah, because they have shed innocent blood in their land. But Yehudah shall dwell forever in Jerusalem from generation to generation, for I will cleanse their blood that I have not cleansed. For Yahweh dwelleth in Zion. And where do you think Yehudah is? In Zion. So as we can see, once again, Yehudah is that lion whelp who shall rouse him up. And I'm telling you who's going to rouse them up. The fourth beast. Who do you think his counterpart is? Who do you think his fourth opposing counterpart will be? You can't have one without the other. You can't have good without bad. You can't have life without death. You can't have light without darkness. You can't have up without down. And you can't have the fourth beast without Yahweh's fourth son. Look what it says in the book of Zechariah. The 12th chapter. Starting at the very first verse. And watch what it says, Zechariah 12 and 1. The burden of the word of Yahweh for Israel, says Yah, which stretcheth forth the heavens, layeth the foundations of the earth, and formeth the spirit of man with him. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all the people round about, when they shall be in the siege both against Yehudah and Jerusalem. And in that day will I make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. All that burn themselves with it shall be cut in pieces, though all the people of the earth be gathered together against it. In that day, says Yah, I will smite every horse with astonishment, his rider with madness, and I will open my eyes upon the house of Yehudah and will smite every horse of the people with blindness, And the governors of Yehuda shall say in their heart, the inhabitants of Jerusalem shall be my strength, Yahweh of hosts, their Elohim. In that day, I want you to see this. Will I make the governors of Yehuda like a hearth of fire among the wood, and like a torch of fire in a sheath, and they shall devour all the people round about, on the right hand and on the left. Jerusalem shall be inhabited again in her own place, even in Jerusalem. Yahweh also shall save the tents of Yehuda first, that the glory of the house of David and the glory of the inhabitants of Jerusalem do not magnify themselves against Yehuda. In that day, Yahweh defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And watch this. I want you to understand this, brothers and sisters. Because the mass majority of our people, they don't know who they are. They don't even know what they are. And they don't have no clue at all their responsibility in the earth. But the remnant do. They know what's going on. And let me show you what's going on. In that day shall Yahweh defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and he that is feeble among them at that day shall be as David. In other words, that's how the weakest person, other people, shall be like David. And the house of David shall be as Elohim. In other words, if you don't know what it's like to be like an Elohim, Yahweh tell you exactly what it's like, as the angel of Yahweh before them. In other words, the house of David will be like angels. And if you know anything about an angel, you know, the scriptures say the angels were made a little bit higher than man. That's why angels can come and go. One, you see them real quick, and then boom, they gone. Angels don't need no airplanes to fly. They don't need none of that. Men's modern man technology have nothing on an angel. But now we're talking about the house of David. And watch what it says in the 9th verse. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. This is what will happen. This is what will go down. This is the opposing counterpart to the fourth beast. And not only that, go to the book of Amos. I want you to see this. Book of Amos, the 9th chapter, the 8th verse. Behold, the eyes of Yahweh, Elohim, are upon the sinful kingdom, and I will destroy it from off the face of the earth. What kingdom you think that is? Except that I will not utterly destroy the house of Yaakov, says Yahweh. For lo, I will command, and I will sift the house of Israel among all nations, like as corn is sifted in a sieve. Yet shall not the least grain fall upon the earth. All the sinners of my people shall die by the sword, which say evil shall not overtake nor prevent us. And this is what a lot of our people say today. I don't got to keep the law. We don't got to do this. We don't got to keep the Sabbath day and remember it. We don't got to do none of this stuff. The only reason you can say something like that, you must think evil not coming upon you. To say you don't have to keep the law, when you know that if you don't keep the law, evil will come upon you. Why do you think we're in America today? But watch this, the 11th verse. In that day will I raise up the tabernacle of David that is fallen, and close up the breaches thereof, and I will raise up his ruins, and I will build it as in the days of old, that they may possess the remnant of Edom, and of all the heathen which are called by my name, says Yah, that doeth this. We're talking about the fourth beast, but we're speaking about his counterpart, the one who will oppose him, the one who will be raised up to deliver out of his hand. Jeremiah 30. Go there. You cannot have the fourth beast without having his fourth counterpart. Two sides to everything. And now you're hearing about the other side. And look what it says in the book of Jeremiah 30, the first verse. The word that came to Jeremiah from Yahweh, saying, thus speaketh Yahweh Elohim of Israel, saying, write thee all the words that I have spoken unto thee in a book. For lo, the days come, says Yahweh, that I will bring again the captivity of my people Israel and Yehuda, says Yahweh. And I will cause them to return to the land that I gave to their fathers, and they shall possess it. And these are the words that Yahweh spake concerning Israel and concerning Yehuda. For thus is Yahweh, we have heard a voice of trembling, of fear, and not of peace. Ask ye now, and see whether a man do travail with child. Wherefore do I see every man with his hands on his loins as a woman in travail, and all faces are turned into paleness. Alas, for that day is great. There is none like it. It is even the time of Yaakov's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. Now watch what it says. For it shall come to pass in that day, says Yahweh the host, that will break his yoke from off thy neck, and will burst thy bonds, and strangers shall no more serve themselves of him. First of all, just reading this eighth verse should let you know something powerful. I'm going to read the eighth verse again. For it shall come to pass in that day, says Yahweh of hosts, that I will break his yoke from off thy neck, will burst thy bonds. Strangers shall no more serve themselves of him, but they shall serve Yahweh their Elohim and David their king, whom I will raise up unto them. That's what we're going to serve. And you think that Yahweh will break the yoke of bondage off our neck, burst our bonds, without the warrior king that went before the people in battle? And here it is once again, Yahweh would take us in battle without this king, without this fourth counterpart, without this opposing son, who was the fourth son, the fourth tribe, being Yehuda, who Yahweh said, "You are whom your brethren shall praise." I can see why now, because they are the ones who will bring about our deliverance. Now I can understand why the gathering of the people shall be to him. Now I can understand why all their brothers shall praise him. Now I can understand why his hands will be in the neck of our enemies. Now I understand why Yahweh said in his days, Yehuda shall be saved and Israel shall dwell safely. Now I can understand why out of all the tribes where Yahweh chose to place his name, there you shall bring all your sacrifices and all your offerings and your heave offerings and your tithes and all the other holy things to that one place. Now I can understand why his ruins will be rebuilt. Because of the fourth beast. Who else will rival the fourth beast but his fourth son, his fourth counterpart? Watch what it says in the book of Jeremiah, the 23rd chapter. First verse, woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, says Yahweh. And this is what's going on today. Therefore, thus says Yahweh of Israel, against the pastors that feed my people, ye have scattered my flock, driven them away, and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doing, says Yahweh. And I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries whither I have driven them. Will bring them again to their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase. And I will set up shepherds over them which shall feed them. And they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed. Neither shall they be lacking, says Yahweh. Behold, the days come, says Yahweh, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. And who is that? In his days, who days? This king that shall reign, that shall prosper, that shall execute judgment and judgment in the earth. In his days, Yehuda shall be saved. Israel shall dwell safely. And this is the name whereby he shall be called, Yah our righteousness, or Siddiq Yadu. Therefore, behold, the days come, says Yahweh, that they shall no more say, Yahweh liveth, which brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. But Yahweh liveth, which brought up and which led the seed of the house of Israel out of the north country and from all the countries whither he had driven them, and they shall dwell in their own land. Who do you think will lead, command, discharge? Who do you think will be a witness? Who is the wicked and who is the righteous? Who will smite the earth with the rod of their mouth, but will reprove with equity unto meek? Not reprove after the hearing of his ears, nor with the seeing of his eyes. Who will do these things? Who will bring Babylon to ruins? What instrument will Yahweh use to bring about peace on the earth? There's only one. He only chose one. He only elected one. And that is Yehuda, who will bring salvation back to the earth. So make no mistake about it. The fourth beast has its fourth counterpart. He might speak great words, but Yahweh will send one that will do great things. Until tomorrow, Yahweh love you, and so do I. Shalom.